Welcome to Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. It is our pleasure and privilege to present to you the gospel message of the sovereign grace and glory of God in the person and work of the Lord Jesus Christ. We pray that today's program will be a blessing to you. Thank you for listening, and now for today's program.
Welcome to our program today. I'm glad you could join us. If you'd like to follow along in your Bibles, I'm going to go back into the Old Testament to one of the books of wisdom. It's the book of Ecclesiastes. Ecclesiastes, and I'm going to go to chapter 3. And the title of the message is, May God Fill Our Void. May God Fill Our Void. And I'm going to begin at verse 10 for my text of Ecclesiastes chapter 3. But before I get to that verse, you read on your own. This passage is very familiar to people. It speaks about how everything, there's a season, a time to every purpose under heaven, a time to be born, a time to die, and then goes right on through all the times. And what that is teaching is the sovereignty of God over time. God is the sovereign God who has appointed all the times of men and women on this earth. I know people don't want to believe this now. It has to do with predestination. It has to do with God controlling things. You know, a lot of people today will say, well, God is in control, but they really mean that He's limited in His control or that He has voluntarily limited Himself. It's often said by some people who don't know the gospel that God's going to save His people only if they will cooperate, because God would not dare step on the dignity of man's free will. And that is not biblical. Man doesn't have a free will. Oh, I know we make choices every day of our lives, and that's, I understand that. But if man left to himself will not choose God and His way of salvation by grace in Christ. And I'm going to talk to you about that. But he goes through all these times, and verse 9 he says of Ecclesiastes 3, he says, what profit hath he that worketh in that wherein he laboreth? Man laboring, women laboring. And he says in verse 10, now this is where we begin our text, I have seen the travail which God hath given to the sons of men to be exercised in it. There's a travail. Now, you know what travail means? That's trouble. Oftentimes, a woman who is about to have a baby, when she goes into labor, it's called her travail. Her labor, her pain. And there is a travail that is common to everyone without exception who is born into this world, and it's a God-given travail. He's given it to the sons of men to be exercised in it. It's a trouble. Now, some people say it's a void. That's why I titled the message, May God Fill Your Void. It's an emptiness. And we're going to talk about that, but look at verse 11. It says, God hath made everything beautiful in His time. God's made everything for His glory. Everything that goes on. And if you don't believe that, don't ever quote Romans 8:28 again, which says, all things work together for good to them that love God, who are the called according to His purpose. All things good, all things evil, work together. God's working all things together. God's in control. So He hath made everything beautiful in His time. Also, He hath set the world in their heart. Now, the heart is the mind, the affections, the will, the conscience, the inner man. And He set the world. Now, that word world there, a lot of commentators say this. They say He's talking about eternity. God has set eternity in the hearts of people. And it says in verse 11, so that no man can find out the work that God maketh from beginning to end. Now, the Bible says God declares the end from the beginning. But man cannot figure out God and His purpose and His ways from beginning to end. And it says here that God has set eternity in their heart. So let me talk to you about this travail, this emptiness, this void. And what it is, it's a lack of a sense of purpose in life. Why am I here? What is my purpose? Man cannot figure that out on his own. He can talk about different things, different ways. And it's not only a sense of purpose, but it's a sense of eternity. We're going to die. We realize that death is imminent. And as we grow older, it becomes more and more, we become more and more aware that our life here on earth is going to end. And we wonder, is there life after death? Is there a judgment? Is there? You see, this is one of the things that separate man from the animals. That's why I tell people all the time, our kids go to school and they go into biology class and they think that man is just another class of animal. Oh no, my friend. Man is not an animal. Man was originally made in the image of God, but in the fall of Adam, who represented the whole human race, man lost that image, but he retained this travail, this void. That's why after the fall, Adam and Eve hid from God. They realized they were naked. Nakedness being a metaphor for lack of righteousness. And they hid from God and they covered their nakedness with fig leaf aprons. What were they doing? They were trying to fill that God-shaped void in their hearts. So man, listen, we all fell in Adam into a state of sin and death and depravity, spiritual death. But we still have that God-shaped void, which causes us to wonder, what is my purpose in life? What about dying and death? Is there life after death? What about eternity and judgment and eternity? Man wrestles with these, and it's a travail. And he cannot, even though God has a purpose, and it's His glory in Christ, He set eternity in the hearts of all people, and we retain that much, even after the fall. But it's a void that man tries to fill in ways that dishonor God. And that's why he says that no man can find out the work that God maketh from beginning to end. Man cannot find it on his own. Now here's the thing about man without God. And you know, this is the theme of Ecclesiastes. You know, when you think of Ecclesiastes, if you know anything about the book, you think about the term vanity of vanities. All is vanity. But the theme of Ecclesiastes is the vanity, the worthlessness, the emptiness of life without God, without Christ, without truth, without God's grace. And man cannot fill that void on his own, not even with his best. If you look with me to Psalm 39, I want you to see this. Now here's the point. Man by nature, in an unregenerate, unbelieving state, he will try to fill that void. But it will always be futile. It will always be with ways that deny and dishonor God. Some try to fill it with material possessions. You remember the story that Christ told of the man who had so much possessions? He's wondering what he was going to do, so he built bigger barns. He's trying to fill that void, but it won't last. He said, "Thou fool, this night your soul shall be required of you." Some try to fill it with human wisdom, philosophy, and religion. In fact, the most popular way for man trying to fill that void is by his own self-righteous works free will religion. And it may last for a while, but it won't last in the end. Let me show you that. This is Psalm 39, verse 1. David wrote this. He said, I will take heed to my ways, that I sin not with my tongue. I'm going to stop sinning with my tongue. I will keep my mouth with a bridle while the wicked is before me. And verse 2 says, I was dumb with silence. I just had to shut up. I held my peace even from good, and my sorrow was stirred, troubled. That travail still came up. Verse 3, my heart was hot within me while I was musing, the fire burned. Then spoke I with my tongue, Lord, make me to know mine end and the measure of my days, what it is, that I may know how frail I am. And then look at verse 5. Now listen to this. Behold, thou hast made my days as an handbreadth. That's how short my life is in comparison with eternity. And mine age is as nothing before thee. Verily, every man at his best state is altogether vanity. Think about it. That's what the word Selah means in that psalm. Go back to Ecclesiastes 3. Eternity. And even atheists spend their life denying eternity, denying God. Agnostics say, well, we don't know. And so they seek other ways of filling the void. But here's the point that's made in Ecclesiastes 3 and in the whole Bible. Only God, by His power and His grace and His goodness in Christ, can fill that void. Look at verse 12. This is Ecclesiastes chapter 3. He says, I know, this is verse 12, I know that there is no good in them, but for a man to rejoice and to do good in his life. Try to be happy, try to do good. And verse 13, and also that every man should eat and drink and enjoy the good of all his labor. And notice the last words here. It is the gift of God. It's the gift of God. You know, you may go out in life and you may work hard. You may be one of the smartest individuals and use your mind to help other people and to get gain for yourself. But if you don't realize that every breath you take is a free, undeserved, unearned gift from God, it's all vanity. So what is he telling us here? He's telling us that the only way that that void can be filled is with God. And so look at verse 14 of Ecclesiastes 3. He says, I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Now whatsoever man doeth won't last. If you're trying to be saved by your works, it won't last. You recall in Matthew chapter 7, those false preachers who stood before Christ and said, Lord, haven't we preached in your name? Haven't we cast out demons? Haven't we done many wonderful works? Only to hear him say, depart from me, you that work iniquity, I never knew you. What was the problem there? I've heard preachers say, well, they weren't sincere enough. My friend, try to fill your void with your sincerity. It won't last either. Besides, those preachers, I believe, were sincere. What were they doing? They were pleading their own works rather than the work of God. Now read verse 14 again, Ecclesiastes 3. I know that whatsoever God doeth, it shall be forever. Eternity, eternal life, can only be found in God, in Christ. And he says it this way, nothing can be put to it. That means you can't add anything to it, nor anything taken from it. You can't take anything away from it. And God doeth it that men should fear before him. Worship him. That's what that fear means. Serve him. In other words, that the only way that that void can be filled is by the work of God. And what's he talking about? Eternal life. Remember in John 17, the high priestly prayer of Christ, I believe it's verse 3, or verses 2 and 3, he says, "This is life eternal, that they might know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom thou hast sent." My friend, only God can fill that void, and he does so by the power of his Spirit through the preaching of the gospel, which teaches us that God has a people whom he redeemed through the blood of his Son, and he gives them, he puts away their sins by the blood of Christ so that they cannot be charged with sin. There's no condemnation for them. And he gives them a perfect righteousness, which is in and by the Lord Jesus Christ. That's how God fills that void. He fills it with Christ crucified and risen from the dead. And that's the only way that that travail will be satisfied. You know, over in the book of Isaiah, chapter 53, it speaks of the travail of Christ. He went through the travail of his soul, the scripture says. It's as Isaiah 53:11. Listen to it. Christ, he there is Christ, shall see of the travail of his soul and shall be satisfied. And by his knowledge, his experience to know suffering unto death, my righteous servant justify many, for he shall bear their iniquities. You see, that's the travail that Christ went through. He'll be satisfied. In other words, all for whom he lived and died, was buried, and arose again the third day shall be saved. Just like a woman in childbirth, when she goes through that hard labor, suffering, and she comes out on the other side of that with a healthy baby boy or girl, she's satisfied. Christ will have no stillborn children. And his work, you can't add to it and you can't take away from it. People say, well, he died for everybody without exception on condition that they believe, or they believe and repent, or they believe and repent and persevere. Oh, no. He died for his people and they will believe, they will repent, they will persevere. That's what the scripture teaches. Their believing doesn't save them. Their repenting doesn't save them. Their persevering doesn't save them. Christ saves them. And as the fruit and result of his salvation, his work, his blood, his righteousness, they shall believe, they shall repent, and they shall persevere in the faith. You see, salvation is not conditioned on your believing. It's conditioned on Christ. And once he's fulfilled those conditions by his obedience unto death on the cross, he gives his people faith. Faith is the gift of God. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God, neither can he know them. They're spiritually discerned. That's why the natural man, the unregenerate man, spends his life trying to fill that void with other things. Works of religion, works of material, all kinds of things that will not do. Look back at Ecclesiastes 3. Look at verse 15. It says here, "That which hath been is now, and that which is to be hath already been, and God requireth that which is past." All time, in the fullness of the time. Think about it. God created time. Before time even began, before this world was ever began, he chose a people in Christ, gave them to Christ, and put all of the conditions of their salvation on Christ. But in the fullness, but God created the world, man fell, and it was at that fall that God revealed his purpose to glorify himself in the salvation of his chosen people through the blood and the righteousness of Christ, represented in that robe that he made them. He slew an animal and made them coats of skin. That's the imputed righteousness of Christ. You see, God fills that void with his glory. And that's what he says here in Ecclesiastes chapter 3. He says, read it again, that men, verse 14, that men should fear before him. What is that fear? It's not running scared from God. That's what Adam and Eve was doing before they were converted with their fig leaf aprons. No, it's not running scared from God. It's seeking the Lord and finding him and finding his way of salvation that honors and glorifies him, worshiping him, serving him, motivated by grace, love, and gratitude. And you know, over in the book of Ecclesiastes, turn to Ecclesiastes chapter 12. And let's read the last two verses. You know, remember I told you a lot of people, when they think of Ecclesiastes, they think of the terms vanity of vanities, always vanity. Well, what does the Bible tell us? Without God, without Christ, without truth, without grace, it's all vanity. That's why in the book of Proverbs it tells us, seek the Lord, seek his wisdom, and don't lean to your own understanding. Your own understanding will cause you to try to fill that void with things that will not fill it. You know, the Bible says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled, Matthew 5, 6. Well, how does he fill our hunger and thirst? It's God who gives us that hunger and thirst for righteousness that can only be satisfied in Christ. Well, look at here in Ecclesiastes 12, the last two verses, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Verse 14, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Here's the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. What does that mean then? It means to seek God. Seek the true and living God in his word. And the only way you're going to know is by the power of the Spirit. Worship God. Serve God. Believe God. Whatever he says in his word. If he says he chose a people before the foundation of the world, believe it. Read it in Ephesians chapter 1 and other passages. Fear God. And then how are you going to seek God? Keep his commandments. What are his commandments? Don't think about the Ten Commandments here. You cannot find God by trying to keep the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments and the whole Old Covenant was given to show you your sinfulness, show the Israelites their sinfulness and their need of salvation by grace through the promised Messiah. And so, keep his commandments. What does he say? This is the commandments of God. Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Love the brethren. See, those are his commandments. It's salvation by grace, not by works. Submit to Christ's righteousness. That's what Paul wrote in Romans 9 and 10. The Israelites who sought righteousness didn't find it because they sought it by their works and not by faith, which is to seek it in Christ. And he says in Romans 10 and verse 4, Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone that believeth. That's his righteousness imputed. The gospel, Romans 1, 16 and 17, is the revelation of the righteousness of God. You see, that's what we read back in Ecclesiastes 3. The work of God is a perfect work. You can't add anything to it. You can't take anything away from it. It's all Christ. That's the simplicity that's in Christ. That all of my salvation, from beginning to final culmination, is all in and by the Lord Jesus Christ and based upon his obedience unto death, his merits, his righteousness alone. That's what fills the void. Run the race of grace, looking unto Jesus, the author, the beginner, the originator, and the finisher, the completer of our faith. And that's what it means. And the reason is God's going to bring every secret thing into judgment. Men may look at you and they may say, oh boy, he's a righteous man. Look at what he does. my friend, it'll all be brought out in the open, that if you stand before God at judgment without Christ, it'll all be declared iniquity. God's going to judge the world in righteousness by that man whom he hath ordained, and that he hath given assurance unto all men, and that he hath raised him from the dead. My only hope of salvation and eternal life and glory is to be found in Christ, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faithfulness of Christ, the righteousness of God by faith, washed in his blood, clothed in his righteousness. That's my hope. That's how God fills that void. And it's my prayer that God will fill your void with that same message, because that's the way God fills the void of every one of his people. It's the same. Same way of salvation, same gospel, same God, same Christ, same grace. Grace that reigns through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. And then when we stand before judgment, we can sing that hymn, "My hope is built on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name, on Christ, the solid rock I stand. All other ground is sinking sand." That's the God-shaped void. That's how God fills that void. And only God can do it. The preacher can't do it. The church can't do it. Baptism can't do it. Only God can do it. May God fill your void. And that's the only one who can, and the only one who will for his people. And if you're one of his people for whom he chose before the foundation of the world, for whom Christ died on the cross, he'll send the Spirit and bring you under the preaching of the gospel, and he'll fill your void with the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ, and no other way. I hope you'll join us next week for another message from God's Word.
We are glad you could join us for another edition of Reign of Grace. This program is brought to you by Reign of Grace Media Ministries, an outreach ministry of Eager Avenue Grace Church in Albany, Georgia. To receive a copy of today's program, or to learn more about Reign of Grace Media Ministries or Eager Avenue Grace Church, write us at 1102 Eager Drive, Albany, Georgia, 31707. Contact us by phone at 229-432-6969 or email us through our website at www.theletterrofgrace.com. Thank you again for listening today, and may the Lord be with you.